First Epistle of John, chapter 1 at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Particularly verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Every time I read that, I think of the story of the curate who was to preach for his first time in front of his bishop. And he obviously was very nervous, and he said to him, to his bishop, "What will I preach about?" And the bishop looked at him and said, "You will preach about God." We have in our text here, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Last week, we noted the reasons why John wrote this letter. Tonight, we're looking at the content of the letter, the essence of the message. And our verse tells us, this is the message. God is light. One contemporary version of the Bible translates this verse: God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him. Darkness, you see, is not an entity in itself. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. It's not an entity in itself. It's where there is no light. That's what darkness is. Darkness cannot penetrate anything. Light penetrates darkness. Darkness doesn't penetrate light. Light penetrates darkness. And it's very important to remember, light and darkness are not equals. They are direct opposites, but they are not equals. The Bible tells us, light, good excelleth evil, as light excelleth darkness. Light is greater than darkness, and goodness is greater than evil. But what does the Bible mean when it says, God is light? What is meant by that? Well, I suppose it means several things. It means, first of all, God is all-knowing. God is the ultimate in knowledge. God never has to learn anything. God never has a new thought. You and I have new thoughts. God never has a new thought. God never has to learn anything. God knows everything intuitively, not progressively. How do you and I know things. How do we learn things? We learn the unknown through instruction on the things we know. We go step by step. Not God. God knows everything intuitively. God isn't just as what we call God is omniscient. He knows everything. And God, of course, is not merely omniscient. God is omnipotent. Omnipotent. He has all knowledge, omniscient. He has all power, omnipotent. It isn't just that God knows more than anyone else. God knows everything. Everything. God is omnipotent. It's not just that he has more power than the devil. It's not just that he has more power than anything else. He has all power. All power on earth is derived from God. Any power there is has come from God. That's a tremendous thought. I always remember hearing a sermon, an action sermon on a communion Sunday. The minister said, preaching on the sufferings of Christ, you remember the soldier that came up to Christ on that mock trial and slapped Jesus on the face. Where did that soldier get the strength to slap Christ? He got it from the one he was slapping. Got it from Christ. All power is delegated from God. He is omnipotent. He has all power as well as all knowledge. He is not only omniscient, omnipotent, he is also omnipresent. All of his presence is everywhere, all of the time. But when we say God is light, it also means God is holy. God is totally moral. God is 100% pure. In him is no darkness at all. God is unable to sin. Not just that he won't do it, he's unable to sin. God is unable to err. God cannot do anything wrong. Error and wrong are completely absent in God. God is holy. And that's one of the things the Bible means when it says God is light. But God is light also means God is truth. What do we mean by God is truth? We mean God is real. Reality is derived from God. God is the first cause of everything. Reality resides in God. God is certainty. Certainty resides in God. Validity resides in God. That's where validity comes from. It comes from God. God alone is totally reliable. God is truth. Totally reliable. Totally trustworthy. I suppose it also means sincerity and honesty resides in God. I suppose it means that when we say God is truth. But when we say God is light, it means all these things. But it also means more than that. When we say God is light, it means God is good and God is merciful. You see, you could have all these things and be austere. God is not clinical or neutral. God is good. God is good. And God is merciful. All the paths of the Lord, we are told, are mercy and truth. God is a light, and in Him is no darkness whatsoever. But God being light, what does that imply practically? Because God is light, what does that mean? How should that affect you and me? Well, that's exactly what the following verses mean. Did you note that each of the following verses, from verse 6 to verse 10, revolves round the term, if we. God is light, in Him is no darkness at all, therefore, if we say that we fellowship one with another and walk in darkness, we lie. Because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, therefore, if we say we have not sinned, we're making God a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's just look at each of these verses. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What is that verse saying? Do you know what verse 6 is really saying? It's saying, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. If God is light, and we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we're behaving in the darkness, then we'll lie and we're not practicing the truth. If we have fellowship with Him, we should be practicing the truth. You remember the occasion of this letter being written, why it was written. Chapter 2, verse 19, remember some had left the fellowship. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. They had, as it were, left Christianity. As we noted last week, they didn't leave because of some trivial thing. They left because they changed their minds that Jesus was God. They changed their minds about the commandments, keeping the commandments being important. They changed their minds about having to behave in love. And so, it unnerved a lot of the Christians that were left. They became insecure and they were asking the question, how can we know that we are genuine? It obviously was a shock. And you know what it's like when you hear of people backsliding. It unnerves you. You say, oh well, doesn't it make you question yourself? And they were asking this. So this letter was written in response to that situation. And that's why he says in chapter 5, verse 13, these things we write unto you, that you may know that you do possess eternal life, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that we're genuine Christians? Well, John's reply would be, not merely, by your behavior and your lifestyle. Not just that. He is saying, unequivocal behavior and lifestyle. Explicit, categoric commitment to walking in God's light. You want to know, are you a real Christian or not? Well, are you committed to walking in God's light? John, that's how John answers the question. This is the message. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Therefore, if we say we fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're not practicing the truth, and we lie. Now, you might say, but look, who can do that perfectly? Well, no one can do it perfectly. And John is not speaking about perfection, but he is speaking about the principle. He is speaking about the principle of being committed to walking in God's light. Now you might say, oh, but you can't be 90% a Christian. Well, that's true. But it's very clear John is not speaking about, or John is not expecting perfection. Very obviously. You say, why? Well, he says, if you say you've no sin, you're deceiving yourself. We're all sinners. We're all imperfect. But the principle, we're committed to walking in God's light. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Walking in the light equals having fellowship one with another. And that is what is so seriously in a fellowship if someone is not accepting another Christian. If we are not friendly with another Christian or do not accept another Christian without valid reason, we're not walking in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, what does it say? We have fellowship with one another. So, we're duty bound to understand that it is vitally important to have fellowship one with another. Now, that doesn't mean that we agree on every single point. We agree the Bible is the Word of God. We agree Jesus is the only Savior. But there are things in the Bible which the Bible itself teaches us are hard to be understood. And it's only natural there are different interpretations of what the Bible means at this point. But the point is, someone gives a credible Christian profession, they are to be in fellowship. And we're to accept that. And this is one of the things that, well, they left the fellowship, these people. They no longer believed Jesus was God. They no longer believed it was important to keep the commandments. And so they said, right, we're off. But John says they went off because they weren't real Christians. They didn't accept the word of God. They didn't accept Christ's lordship over them. And therefore, they went out from us because they were not really of us. Now, do you note, as we walk in the light, and therefore, as we have fellowship one with another, we are cleansed. You see, verse 7, as far as I understand, is not speaking about forgiveness. It's not speaking about forgiveness of sin. It's speaking about cleansing from sin. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood cleanses us from sin as we walk in the light. You see, there's the two things. Forgiveness of sin, that's one thing. Cleansing of sin is another. There's two things in it. Forgiveness is a one-off act. The moment you repent and confess your sins before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Once and for all. Forgiven. A one-off act. The moment you repent, confess, and believe in Christ, all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven in one act. Okay? That's forgiveness. It's only at that point, cleansing of sin, the process of cleansing, commences. Cleansing of sin is a lifelong, continuous process, not an act. Forgiveness is a one-off act. Cleansing goes on for the rest of your life. And why have you to keep on confessing your sin? Because you're continually sinning. And you see, the cleansing process can only commence after you've been forgiven. It only commences then, but it continues for the rest of your life. Forgiveness frees someone from punishment. Cleansing frees us from pollution. Forgiveness is freedom from the punishment of sin. Cleansing is freedom from the pollution of sin. But you see, we're forever being polluted. We live in this sinful world. We still have sinful hearts, as we'll come to notice. And therefore, we need continual cleansing. And for the blood to continually cleanse away the pollution of our sins, we need to continually be walking in the light. And we need to continually, therefore, be having fellowship one with another. Remembering, of course, as we noted last week, fellowship is with the Father and with the Son primarily. And there's no fellowship across the way unless there's first of all fellowship in the vertical. It's vertical first, with the Father and with the Son, and then you have it across the way horizontally. As we walk in the light, we're being cleansed. As we walk in light. If we're not walking in light, we're not being cleansed. Verse 8 and 10, we might think are very similar, but actually they're not exactly the same. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Very similar, but they're not exactly the same. Verse 8 is present tense. If we say we have no sinful nature, I think that's the best way to understand it. Verse 8. If we say we have no sinful nature, we're kidding ourselves. You don't understand the basics of the gospel if you don't think you've got a sinful nature. Verse 10 is speaking about the past. You're saying you've never sinned. If we say we have never sinned, then we've made God a liar, and his word is not residing within us. We have to understand we have a sinful nature. We have been forgiven the moment we repent and believe in Christ. All our sins, past, present and future, are forgiven. But we still have a sinful nature. And we have then to begin to fight against that sinful nature. So many people, so many young Christians make such a mistake here. They think, now that I've been converted, I've no sinful nature. What a lot you have to learn. What a lot you have to learn. Understand, forgiveness is a one-off act the moment your faith's in Christ. But from then on, you have to get involved with the cleansing of sin. You have to get involved with confessing your sin. You have to realize you have a sinful nature. And it's going to plague you until you bring it continually to God to subdue you. I like this statement. Very important to grasp it. We are not sinners because we do sinful things. We do sinful things because we are sinners. See the difference? We are not sinners because we do sinful things. We do sinful things because we are sinners. Because we are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And the best way to cope with that fact, that even although our sins are all forgiven in Christ, we still have a sinful nature. The best way to cope with that is to understand that we are forgiven in Christ, but we must walk in the light. And we must have fellowship one with another. And that process, that actions, help to cleanse from the pollution of sin. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to instantly forgive us our sins and to commence the process of cleansing us from our sins. The cleansing is just the commencement. Forgiveness, instant, one-off. Upon the confession of our sins. Now, what do we mean, or what does the Bible mean, by confessing our sins? Well, every time I read this verse, I think of a very uneasy experience I had before I went into the ministry. I remember a man coming into the office and after doing the business, he said, "You're a Christian." I said, yeah. And we started a little talk, and I don't know what we were, the specifics, but I do remember saying to him in some way, what about sin? And I always remember him standing there and saying, "Well," he said, "I always lean heavily on 1 John 1:9. I lean heavily on 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But here's the thing. He walked out of the office, and I'm not sure, but I think it was a Thursday or a Friday that I heard that man ran off with somebody else's wife. Oh, all you've got to do on Monday is confess your sins. Forgive it. Is that what the Bible means when it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins? Is that true confession of sin? Confession of sin means grieving. What does it mean? I heard a good description of it the other day. Confessing our sin to God means we're agreeing with God about our sin. We're at one with God for our sin. In fact, the original, I think in fact it's even translated somewhere in the Bible, to do the same thing with it as God does. It means to hate it, to agree with God when God says sin is an abominable thing which I hate. And if we confess our sins, we're to agree with God. It is an abominable thing. And it is to agree with God that it should be punished. It is punishable. In fact, when someone is truly under conviction of sin, you don't hear them saying, oh, God's too strict, you know, in punishing sin. You don't hear people under conviction of sin saying, God has no right to send me to hell. He's too strict there. It's not the language of someone who has seen sin the way God sees it, as abominable, punishable, undeserving the pains of hell forever. If we confess our sin, we have to be truthful to God. We're to walk in the light, which means God is truth. We have sinned. We have sinned today. We've sinned since we came into this building. All of us. I have. All of us have sinned. We're to confess that to God, agreeing with God. It's wrong and it's punishable. But to take it further, and this is quite important, to agree with God about sin also means that we are to accept that it's forgiven if we truly confess it. I've known people, met people, spoken to people, and you try to explain the gospel to them, and they're with you all the way. Until you come to this very point, and you say, now look, you acknowledge you're a sinner, deserving nothing but hell. No problem. No problem. But God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if anyone confesses their sins before God, they're forgiven. Yes. So you're forgiven. Oh, no, not me, not me. No. But you've agreed that the Bible says anyone who confesses their sin truly, repenting, is forgiven. But not me, not me. See? They can't apply it to themselves. But to agree with God about sin means any unworthy, undeserving sinner who does confess his sin to God, agreeing it's abominable, agreeing it's punishable, is instantly forgiven. And God will commence the process of cleansing as you walk in the light and as you have fellowship one with another. I think it's very interesting to note the basis of the assurance here. All the time, John is trying to assure believers they possess eternal life. And he says, if we confess our sins, see what he says? He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. See what he's appealing to? He's appealing to God's justice. God cannot accept from you punishment if he's taken punishment from Christ. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ paid for your sins at the cross. And if God has taken your sins from Christ, he's no right to punish you for them. If he's punished Christ for your sins, he's no right to take it from you. The justice of God is on your side. God doesn't want double payment. He's been paid for it by Christ. If you're a true, genuine believer on Christ. And here's him appealing. God is just. God is faithful. If you genuinely confess your sin, God's justice, God's integrity, as well as his mercy, is behind you all the way. And you're forgiven. You're forgiven instantly. The process of cleansing can now commence as you walk in the light and as you have fellowship one with another. Well, just in conclusion, the message that God is light and in him is no darkness at all was not John's opinion. And it was not John's point of view. Our text tells us it was a message John received directly from Christ. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him. Christ delivered this message to John. That God is light. This message came from heaven. It came straight from Jesus, who came from heaven. It's not an opinion John had. It's not a viewpoint. It's the very truth of Christ. And that the message, therefore, that God is light, should be published far and wide, shouldn't it? Isn't that why Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples? Last thing he said to his disciples before he went to heaven, go tell every creature the good news. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. This message is transforming. This message should convict us. This message should fill us with hope. This message about God, that God is light, meaning he knows everything, meaning he's holy, he's truth, he's full of goodness and mercy. I read that one of the most powerful motives for being a missionary is the phrase, God is worthy to be known for who he is. It was asked by missionaries going out to a very, very difficult part of the world where there was little fruit. And say, well, what's the point in going? No one's converted. God is worthy to be known for who he is. Whether people turn to him or not, they're the losers. But he's worthy to be known for who he is. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. May God bless his truth to us. Let's just bow our heads in prayer.